I'm John Batchelor, visiting with my good colleague, Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College. The Americas are a challenge this morning because there's violence and threatened violence and illegitimacy and gangsters everywhere. We go now to what we know of the Venezuela presentation. There is an opposition that is legitimately elected last year. The man's name is Gonzalez. Last time I checked, he was in exile in Spain. He could be anywhere, ready to assume government. In Caracas, Nicolas Maduro, the illegitimate president, has been condemned by the U.S. State Department and others as the head of a drug cartel, formerly called a foreign terrorist organization, FTO. This makes him no different than El Chapo or any of the monsters out of South America these last years moving drugs. Maduro now has a $50 million bounty on his head. At the same time, not coincidentally, over these last days, it's been confirmed that there is a MAGTAF off the coast of Venezuela. Professor, I call upon your understanding of the acronyms of the U.S. government. What the heck is a MAGTAF, and what does it mean? How does it connect to Maduro?
Sure, John. Well, MAGTAF stands for a Marine Air-to-Ground Task Force, and it is a coherent force package of people and naval and air capabilities that the Marines basically build around what they call a Marine Expeditionary Unit, something that's designed to do, again, what it sounds like, expeditionary operations, like go in with a major force to a place like Venezuela and grab somebody like Maduro and bring him to justice. So a couple of things I'd emphasize. Really, traditionally, U.S. Southern Command, which they call an economy of force theater, has traditionally had maybe three or four ships associated with it beyond those of the Coast Guard 7th District. So here to have essentially, eight ships plus all of the people associated with it is really unprecedented. But if you look at the totality of what the Trump administration has done in the past, really about 2 weeks here, it is never before have you seen the combination of legal authorities, the type as well as size of the military package, complementary things such as the reward on Maduro, and the messaging that is coming out of the administration, including key people like Marco Rubio, to suggest that while like other places in the world, President Trump in the end is who decides. And it's not clear that any decision to actually, go in with military force and take out Maduro has been taken. The package suggests that it's certainly more of a possibility than any time that I can think of since Maduro and previously Hugo Chavez, came to power. So I would just emphasize the way that these things come together. So the legal authorities you're talking about. The finding, by the administration that the Cartel de los Soles is a terrorist organization and Maduro recognized as the head of that organization. And of course, we've had a number of different close U.S. partners, such as Argentina and Ecuador and Paraguay, also reinforcing that legal finding. And so it sets up legal authority to basically go after Maduro, not as a head of state, because we do not recognize him as a legitimate head of state after his robbery of the election, but the legal authority to go after him as the head of a terrorist organization that is doing this damage. The military force, to look at what's in that MAGTAF, you have three major amphibious ships involved. One's called LHA, which is capable of launching things like V-22 Osprey aircraft or vertical takeoff and landing fighters like the Harrier or regular helicopters, basically either transporting a lot of Marines very, very, very quickly via air or doing other air operations. In addition to that, you have two of our newest, what they call LPDs, which are essentially, again, major amphibious ships, which can do some air operations, but also really designed to launch very quick over the beach watercraft called LCACs, again, getting a lot of Marines and their equipment onto shore very, very quickly. And then you have a series of significant naval surface combatants, essentially three destroyers, including two of our very newest class, the Arleigh Burke. Each of those three has roughly 96 missile tubes. And so you can launch a lot of precision munitions if you wanted to take out, for example, Venezuela air defense systems and other strategic targets. And plus you have a submarine, a potentially nuclear attack submarine to protect those. And so really it's a coherent force package. And that's the way that DoD designs these things. But if you're looking for a capability not necessarily to occupy Venezuela, but to essentially send a large force in to basically grab Maduro and a number of other key people with possible opposition. That would be about the size, but also about the type of force that you would need. And I would note that that also complements the reward. Even that $50 million, which sounds like a lot of money on Maduro's head, that might not be enough money to finance a standalone, Eric Prince style operation. But that $50 million gets you a lot of cooperation by people who are close to Maduro, who might be willing to tell you where he is or stand down the president's security detail, or maybe units that might be in the way of those Marine forces coming in that may just choose to disarm themselves or get out of the way as that force comes through going in and out. And again, you have the messaging. Even a interesting tweet by Marco Rubio, who came out and said, now is the time for the Venezuelan armed forces to think about being on the right side of history. So it didn't actually come out and say we are invading, but it was clear that that combination of the legal authorities, the size and composition of the military package, the complementarity of the reward, which really facilitates one of these type of operations with minimal casualty and maximum success, plus some of the messaging. Certainly, if there's not a decision that's been taken to actually go in, I can't think of a time when the possibility, still remote, but the possibility has been this high on all accounts.
And Maduro is the head of a drug cartel. Arresting Maduro or detaining Maduro or disarming Maduro has precedent. I'm thinking of Noriega in 1989 in Panama, but there are other events going on. In Mexico, for example, if Maduro is treated not as an illegitimate president, but as the head of a narco-terrorist gang, detaining him is routine in the Caribbean when you resolve conflict. Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College, there's much more violence or threatened violence. We'll attend momentarily. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.